Bonjour everyone and welcome back to Casseline, the French football podcast with the accent. I'm your host, Jérémy Magan, and as usual, we are brought to you by Breaking the Lines. Go and check out our website, breakingthelines.com, to read about the latest curated football opinion and articles about Klopp and Potter, to name a few, if you're interested in what's going on the other side of the channel. Today, we're going to cover, of course, well, what happened this weekend in Ligue 1. A loss for Paris Saint-Germain, Marseille unable to really take advantage of it, Lens probably doing the best operation of the weekend, and what's going on at the bottom of the table as well. We'll try and keep that one sort of short and sweet, but we'll talk a little bit about the problematics that comes with the results of this weekend. Casse les lignes, as usual, starts with your favorite music, and it's now. So it was match day 29 on the weekend. It's almost the end. 9 more games to play in Ligue 1 this season. And match day 29, well, I think the main result and the first game that we're going to talk about was the very last game of the weekend, Paris Saint-Germain against Lyon. And Lyon, who came to the Parc des Princes and took all 3 points with one single goal, Bradley Barcola, the goal scorer just before the hour mark. And Paris, well, Paris back in there was, we knew that they didn't like to play against Rennes, but they don't like to play against Lyon either. That's the sixth time they lose against Lyon in Ligue 1 since 2011-2012. So basically whenever QSI took over, and obviously the one team that beat Paris more than Lyon is Rennes, who beat them 7 times over that same period. The game itself, well, I got to say, Paris looks like they dominated, but it was really hard to get some positive out of that game from Paris Saint-Germain. The stats, I guess, would be the positive. 16 shots, 5 on target, 63% possession is what Paris did. Lyon, 10 shots, 3 on target, but they scored in those 3 goals, on those 3 shots on target. Sorry. One of the shots that should have been on target was a penalty kick awarded to Lacazette just in the first half that ended up onto the post and then was skied by, I think it was Tagliafico on the rebound. And that's now a second defeat in a row for Paris Saint-Germain, who's still 6 points ahead of the rest of the teams on the table. But it's a pretty scary stats when you look at Paris. They have lost 8 of their 18 games in 2023. It's crazy. It's almost half of their game. And I think it's 9 win, 1 draw and 8 losses in 18 games. And it's the highest tally of defeats after 18 games in one calendar year since 2001. And the last time that they had lost that many games in the second part of the season, I think it was in 2010, if I'm not mistaken. And at the time, they still finished quite high up on the table, but obviously didn't finish champion. This time, thanks to the very strong start of the season that they had, they still count an extra 6 points on the table. Of course, it's probably also thanks to the fact that Marseille and Lens aren't very consistent this season, that they're allowed to see Paris losing that many games and yet still being the main contender for the title. You know, what's going to happen for Paris Saint-Germain? Are they going to finally wake up? I don't know if we're going to actually see it happen. I think in all those woes, their luck, it's probably their calendar. Sure, they're playing Nice and Lens, the next 2 games, which are probably the hard game that they have to negotiate between now and the end of the season. But after that, it's Angers, Lorient, Troyes, Ajaccio, Auxerre, Strasbourg, Clermont. So they're going to play against teams that are basically fighting for survival. And I think when teams are fighting for survival and they play against Paris Saint-Germain, they are not going to close shop. They are not going to park the bus. And so then Paris Saint-Germain was going to be able to beat those teams. So what am I expecting is, you know, maybe in the next couple of weeks, Lens can show PSG that they can get close to them. Marseille maybe, but I see it less. Maybe I see it more for Lens. And maybe if Lens beat Paris Saint-Germain in that game, that all-important game on April 16th in the Parc des Princes, then maybe at that time we'll see Lens 3 points behind PSG or even drew with PSG if they can't win in Nice this weekend. But then after that, Lens will have to have a perfect run, because I think that PSG, those last 7 games, if they don't win 6 out of them, that means that Paris will be in a full crisis mode. As far as what's going on in the capital, no word of a threat on Christoph Galtier. I was kind of looking forward to it the day after that defeat, but nothing was really said in that regard. Of course, some fans and some pundits are saying what we've been saying the past couple of years now on this podcast, right? The club is kind of run as a joke. It's not really about the football. It's not really about the result. It's not really about the way the team plays, but it's about everything else around it. But I think, last year we've seen, was it like a month and a half strike or something like that from the Paris fan? And this year we're not seeing any of that. This weekend was a bit of a particular context in Paris Saint-Germain, in the stands, I should say, because they were celebrating the birthday, the anniversary of one of the groups. So they had to kind of celebrate to keep those celebrations going, that group of fans celebrating. I think I can't remember what the milestone was, but they were there to celebrate. But, you lose at home 1-0 against Lyon a week after losing to Rennes, and there's no real like boos or jeers or, it's a team that sure is 6 points ahead of anybody on the table, but they've lost more games than they can afford in 2023. And I have that feeling that if it was any other coach than Christophe Galtier, the French coach, who was deemed to be the best French coach in the country recently, I think he'll be out already. I don't think they've extended the sort of same sort of like kindness to Pochettino or Tuchel or any coach before or Emery. They haven't often got rid of a coach in the last 10 games. They've always done it either halfway through the season or at the very end of the season. And they've also always done it when they already had somebody in the back pocket to bring in. So I can understand why it hasn't quite happened yet, but it looks like something need to happen in the last 10 games if we want to see the team playing a little bit better. In the post-game conference, Galtier mentioned the fact that some of his players were in international duty and all around the world. He also mentioned not that there was bad luck, but there could have been a penalty call for Paris Saint-Germain. There was a couple of chances missed in the 6 yard box. So Paris Saint-Germain on another day can win that game is basically what Galtier was saying. But how many weeks do we have to say that on another day they can win that game? Like, how many times have they sort of like salvaged the result in the last 2 minutes of the game in the past 2 seasons? It's just not as good as what we expect from a team like Paris Saint-Germain. Usually when they're not in the Champions League anymore, they smash everybody in domestic competition. Well, this season is not the same. It's a bit different. And then what we see is just the youngsters coming in and sort of used as cannon fodder is what it feels like. Gabi came in at the very end, Zaire Emery. And when I say cannon fodder, I also say that because every time Galtier had to do a post-game conference when Paris wasn't winning, like we said about last week, he blames the kids. So it's hard to say, I'm going to make those kids play and I'm going to give those kids a chance and then blame them when Paris doesn't perform. This week, he didn't do that. He didn't blame it on the kids, thankfully. But although we could see that actually El Shaddai Batshuayi was struggling, I think, in defense. Did I get his name right? I think I've just butchered the name. El Shaddai Bichiabu. Excuse me. All the Paris Saint-Germain fans is actually a very exciting prospect. I think he's just put into the worst condition to be able to perform. So yes, Paris has issues on their bench. They're missing a few players, but you expect so much more from an Mbappe, a Messi, and all those stars that they have on the pitch. Instead, what you have is a Donnarumma who make a foul and that cost a penalty, and lucky for him, he hits the post. And then on that second goal, I'm not saying that it's Donnarumma's fault, but that cross from Kumbedi really goes in front of him and nobody tries to top it. And then Barcola is able to score because Donnarumma anticipated almost too much and ended up in his own net before the ball reaches him. So complicated week again for Paris Saint-Germain. Only 6 points is the cushion that they have on their second and third on the table. And who knows, the calendar is easy. So you would think that that's all right at the time for them to bounce back. But you thought it was going to be the same thing against Lyon and against Rennes. And it seems like they are making, a few too many mistakes. So interesting to see what they do. I think the next couple of games, to me, they look like the only two games where Paris can lose points, Nice and Lens. If they lose points on both those games, that means Lens will get closer and closer. And then it'll basically be, instead of a story of who's winning the league, it's going to be who who lost the league, who didn't win the league, who didn't get the results against teams that are supposedly less good to try and get to the end of the season. I think it's sad for Paris, you know, when you've already been out of the Coupe de France, when you've already been out of the Champions League. And mind you, you know, Coupe de France, it was against Marseille, and Champions League against Bayern. So we're not talking about nobodies in front of them when they lose those games. But it starts to be a lot of losses. And unfortunately, I think Galtier is slowly but surely chipping at his credit. And I think he probably looks forward to, you know, either getting out of there and finding a new, a better, healthier club, or maybe, I don't know, maybe seeing Nasser El Khelaifi or Luis Campos actually, you know, saying, all right, from now on, we change, we remove this, we remove that. We don't buy Osimhen and Colomwani and Marcus Thuram like it's been written everywhere, because that's probably not what we need right now. But instead, we just build a team around Mbappé that is compatible with Mbappé, using some of the players that we already have, i.e., you know, Ekitike, even though he's not performing perfectly. I mean, if you give this kid a chance and you actually put him into the lineup, maybe he'll get some results. Not if you just throw him in there when you don't have any other choice, and if you change your tactic every 2 weeks to try and suit the injuries that you have. Anyway, same old, right, for PSG. And another loss. As far as Lyon go, look, I even put the Lyon shirt behind me if you're watching the video, which takes a lot for a Marseille fan like me. but look, it's great. Is it too little too late? Definitely. Is it, again, you know, the result of the inconsistency of their season? 100%. You know, they are on sort of on demand, they're doing okay, you know, under Laurent Blanc. We can't take that away from him. I think it's only a couple of losses since Laurent Blanc took over, so we're not going to say that they're not slowly getting back to what they're supposed to be, but it's nowhere near where we want them to be as well, right? If you look at the last few games, you know, of course they beat Lens, Lyon, and Lens and Angers at some point. They lost to Auxerre just about a month ago. And then after that, it was the draw against Lorient, the draw against Lille, the draw against Nantes. And now they were able to beat Paris Saint-Germain, which hopefully will give them enough momentum for the next few games, because there's the semi-final of the French Cup this week against Nantes. And then it's Rennes, Toulouse, and Marseille. So it's not going to be an easy series of games for Olympique Lyonnais, but it's maybe, you know, time for them to sort of like finish the season as a, you know, rocketing up. They are 44 points. They are 8 points away from Lille, who is fifth on the table and supposedly the first team to get to European competitions. Of course, Lyon's hopes of getting into European competition has to be Coupe de France. They play against Nantes in that semi-final. On the other side, it's Toulouse and Annecy. So there's definitely room there for Lyon to try and get to the final and try and win it all. But yes, in the meantime, great result this weekend, and being able to beat Paris Saint-Germain at the Parc des Princes, although it happens way too many times this season, is no small feat for Laurent Blanc and his men. Next up is the first team who did not take advantage of that loss from Paris Saint-Germain. They didn't know, mind you, at the time that PSG has lost. It's Marseille. Marseille was playing at home against Montpellier, and Marseille, who conceded first and who, as usual, I want to say, needed a set piece to score. 1-1 was the final score. Arnaud Nordin scored first for Montpellier at the 12th minute, and Matteo Guendouzi scored the penalty at the 44th minute. Marseille, who maybe because of the international break, had made a couple of changes and some of significance. Ruben Blanco was the goalkeeper, with Paulo Lopez a little bit sick and hadn't trained in the last 3 days, so he was left on the bench. And Chancel Mbemba was also left on the bench. And of course, you know, if you follow Marseille, those are two of the most important player in Igor Tudor's setup. Tudor, who had put Vitinha in the starting lineup, which we hadn't seen much since he signed the record signing for Marseille. Vitinha from Sporting Braga came for €35 million. So he was in the starting lineup, unfortunately for him. Not a lot of service, not a lot of balls came to him, not a lot of crosses came his way, so he wasn't able to do much. Nordin scored on a very swift counter-attack from Montpellier, and Montpellier under Der Zakarian, they've done just what they always do under Der Zakarian. They defend well, they attack rapidly, and they were dangerous more than once against Marseille. I think Marseille can almost feel lucky that they've only conceded one goal, because there was a fair few chances. Of course, if you look at the stats, you see Marseille with 69% possession, so it looks like it was a one-way sort of game, but it it wasn't as much as that because the counter attack that Montpellier was doing were really, you know, were really threatening. And I think they were only too happy to wait in their own half for Marseille to lose the ball because Marseille was just, again, like pretty, pretty unimpressive as far as like creativity and offensive threat goes. 9 shots for Montpellier, 3 on target, 13 shots for Marseille. 2 of them on target, 1 of them the penalty, of course. And it kind of shows, what I'm saying. Like, you know, Alexis Sanchez seemed tired. And again, he was away on international duty, so maybe that's why. Verretou was not as good as we used to see him. Jonathan Clauss and Nuno Tavares. Clauss looked like he's lost all his abilities in the past 3-4 months since after the World Cup. You know, we're talking about the best assist defender over the past couple of years anywhere in Europe. He was phenomenal at Lens as well. He had a very good start of the season with Marseille, and now he just looks really uninspired. A lot of mistakes, a lot of loose balls. Of course, Nuno Tavares, we've talked about it many times now. The Arsenal loanee just doesn't have the right attitude. I think I was actually reading just before recording the podcast that he had been kicked out of training, I think, on Monday morning because of his lack of investment. At least that's what Tudor sort of like let believe. So it was the news came from L'Equipe. So I kind of trust the source, but it'd be interesting to see what comes out of that. I mean, they don't have heaps of choices to be able to replace Nuno Tavares on the left side, but maybe swapping Clauss on the left and putting Caboret on the right, or maybe Kolasinac take the left side because it worked quite well when he was doing that, as long as they have enough defender to fill their back three. Anyway, very uninspired Marseille team. And it's, again, another one of those seasons where they're losing way too many points at home. They've lost, I think it's 20 points right now in their home games. And it's just like last year. Last year, they lost more north of 20 points. And we said that was the reason why they were not really able to go and bother Paris Saint-Germain for the title. This year, they're doing the same. Only Nice has done worse than them, losing 21 points at home. And it's a pretty bad result. I think they haven't won any of their last Ligue 1 home games, 3 draw and 2 losses. Their last win at home was, of course, Paris Saint-Germain in the French Cup. And it's, I think it's pretty sad that they've done it that way. Sorry, when I say only Nice has lost more points than Marseille, I mean on the top of the table, of course. If you look at Angers, they probably lost more than 21 points at home this season. But as far as the European contenders, I'd say, Marseille has work to do. They've only won 5 of the last 10 Ligue 1 games, which is, you know, probably the reason why they're not much closer to Paris Saint-Germain right now. They also have their woes. Like I said last week, they are a team that is not creative enough, that relies way too much on their set pieces. I think out of the last 11 goals, 8 came off set piece, which is not something that we expect from Marseille. They need to be better, really. But on the other hand of that equation, of course, there was Montpellier, and Montpellier was in form. And now it's a 7 game without a loss for Montpellier, which is great because, they had lost, 5 out of their 6 under Romain Pitot when he was here doing the interim. So good that Der Zakarian came up and really solidified that team. And now it's a team that at least is saved from any relegation war, and at best, you know, can put themselves into the first part of the table and really put everything behind them. They're 10 points away from relegation right now. Sorry, 9 points away from relegation. I'm going to get that right. 11 points away from relegation. Sorry about that mathematics little fumble there. But they are playing much better against the Zakarian. Defensively, there's more intentions. And like I said, when they attack, I mean, if you've seen that goal, the acceleration from Wahbi Khazri taking the ball from his own box, running through the defense, getting into the other half, and then leading the counter-attack with a pass from Wahi to Nordin, was just a model to show in any coaching school about how a counter-attack should be played. And Marseille, unfortunately, was caught in that. 1-1, the final score at the Stade Vélodrome, and Marseille, who misses another opportunity to get closer to Paris Saint-Germain. One team did take advantage of that PSG misstep. And that was Lens. And Lens was one of the game of the weekend. They were traveling to Rennes and at the Roazhon Park. The final score was 1-0 with Loïs Openda, the goal scorer at the 31st minute. It's his 15th goal for Lens. Openda is doing well. The former Vitesse Arnhem striker, in the north of France. And Lens, have now 60 points after 29 league end game. It's the highest tally at this stage of the competition. When we count 3 points for a win, there's only one team with at least 60 points after 29 games, in Ligue 1 that have finished outside of the top three. And that was Lyon in 21, when they had 60 points and they finished fourth. But of course, it was a pretty high scoring season, with Lille, Monaco and Paris Saint-Germain ahead of them. Lens, they've won each of their last five Ligue 1 games against a team that's ranked into the top five, which is amazing, because, you know, you're seeing a team that not only plays well, but plays even better against the better team. And that's all, you know, that's a great sign of things to come, because in their calendar, Lens, well, they have to play Paris Saint-Germain, they have to play Marseille, they have to play Monaco, they have to play Toulouse, they have to play Reims. So there is heaps of those important games coming up for Lens. This weekend they go, they stay home and they meet Strasbourg. But after that, yeah, it's PSG away, Monaco home, Toulouse away, and Marseille home. So it's going to be a tough 3 weeks, a bit more for Lens, but it's also going to be a way for them if they win Strasbourg, and we expect them to fully. And then if they go and get a result at the Parc des Princes against Paris Saint-Germain, which is, again, this day and age, very doable, well, next thing you know, you see them really fighting it out with PSG. So who knows if they can deliver. Hopefully they can deliver. It'll give a bit of piment to that end of the season. As far as the game went, 12 shots and 4 on target for Lens, 10 shots and 3 on target for Rennes. Rennes really desperately missing their striker. There's no other way to saying it. Arnaud Kalimuendo, he's just not delivering as much as we would like him to be. I'd say Toko Ekambi, same thing. Bourigeaud seems a little bit lost without Terrier. And you know, I said that before, but those changes that they've made through the season, getting Guiri in and getting rid of Laborde, to me was a mistake. And I think we're seeing that it's not working out well for them. Mandanda did a few saves, but eventually couldn't do anything on that open that goal. And eventually it cost them the 3 points. And I think Rennes, not that they had any hopes to really come back up, but at least they could have stayed in the European position. And now with that loss, they saw Lille, who won, taking them over. And now they're out of European contention as far as today. And then there's still, of course, another 9 games to play. So Rennes needs to wake up and Rennes needs to do it quickly, even though, you know, of course, against a team like Lens, it's always going to be hard. They've lost, for the sixth time in 13 Ligue 1 games in 2023, and that's more than any other team that's in the top half of Ligue 1. So it also shows that they could have been way higher on the table if they had kept the form that they had in the beginning of the season. So it's going to be a matter of trying to find that back with the 9 games left that Rennes has. Again, like I said, it's a bit hard without Martin Terrier, and we're seeing it. And if you look at the calendar, it's Lyon this weekend, then it's Reims at home, and then it's Montpellier, 3 teams that are in form. After that, luckily for them, it's Angers, Nice, Troyes, Ajaccio. There's a big game against Monaco, and if you need to get Brest, so they have one of the easiest calendar for the last 6 games. But the next 3 games are going to be crucial for Pep Genesio and his men at Rennes. Reims, we were just talking about them. We have to say Reims is performing at just an unexpected level, an extraordinary level in this Ligue 1. They've lost last week, of course, against Marseille in the circumstance that we know, but they were able to bounce back straight away with the win at Nantes, which is not easy to win at Nantes, and a serious solid win, 3-0. The goal scorer, Alexis Flips, with a double in a minute and so and a half, 38, 39th minute. And Marshall Munetzi with the final nail in the coffin at the 58th minute. Nantes, who's not having a great season, we have to say. You know, of course, we know that under Cambouaré, they always can be solid, but it's now only 6 wins after 29 games, and it's not something that we expected from them. It's rare that they have that kind of bad result. The last time, of course, was only three years ago when they had only won 5 after 29 games, and then they ended up 18th, and they only saved themselves after the playoff. I remember those playoffs really well. But now only six wins. We feel like they play better than what their table shows, but they're not in fantastic form. And they've lost 3 of their last 5 Ligue 1 home game, which was also a bit of a fortress for them, La Beaujoire. So yeah, a few things to sort out for them. Reims on the other side, you know, 4 of the last 5 Ligue 1 games has been won, and we had criticized Will Steele for doing only draws. I think on that series of like 10 games before that, there was 6 draws. So good for them to get 4 wins, except the one against Marseille. They've taken 26 points in 2023, Reims, and only Marseille and Monaco have done better with 27 points. So, you know, it's a good result to have, being 3rd on the table in the calendar year. It shows that it explains why they are right now sitting 7th on the table and slowly but surely creeping back up to try and say that maybe they have a claim to that Conference League position. They're 6 points away from Lille. It's not going to be easy, but who knows? Maybe they can sort of like edge that at the very end. Balogun was instrumental as usual, really causing issues up front. Munetzi, Matusiwari, like what they're doing, and also the defense. You know, Abdelhamid and Agbadou, I think, are some of the unsung heroes of that team. Abdelhamid at one point was even dribbling in the opponent's box. So it's also interesting to see that 35-year-old defender pushing it up high to try and make the difference himself. Reims 3, Nantes 0 at La Beaujoire. A great result for Will Steele. And yeah, who knows? 9 games left for him to keep doing what he does and to try and bring his team as high as possible on the table. If we look at the bottom of the table, we will go a little bit faster for the last 6 games to cover. There was a duel that was, of course, highly expected, Auxerre against Troyes, and a bit of, you know, whoever loses is going to have to probably have some regret on that game. And it was Auxerre who won 1-0, a goal from Mbaye Niang at the 73rd minute. Auxerre, who's doing okay since they are coming back from the break. It's 3 wins in the last 6 games, and you know, they only had 3 wins in the first 23 league games. So they're trying to get out of that bad zone that they were in. They're just slowly extirping themselves away from the relegation zone, but they did push Troyes, you know, really underwater. They've only picked up 21 points after 29 games, Troyes right now. And the last time that they had such a bad result where they were relegated. So it's going to be complicated, I think, for the club coached by a fellow Australian, Patrick Kisnorbo, to come out now that they are 5 points behind Auxerre, and Auxerre is 17th and Troyes is 18th, 6 points behind Brest, who's really the first team that's quite safe from relegation. So for Troyes, it looked like the game that they had to get a result in if they wanted to get out of the relegation zone, and unfortunately they let it go, and Auxerre was only too happy to take it. I have to mention Marseille loanee Isaac Touré, who had a complicated start of life at Auxerre and who's finally showing what his talent is. You know, mind you, it's only against Troyes, but he had a very good game this weekend against Troyes. And I think, you know, the arrival as well of Yann Radu, the goalkeeper on loan from Inter Milan, has been really important for Auxerre. Crucial win for Agia, and let's see if they can actually save themselves from what looked like a promised relegation only a few games ago. Lille, who won 3-1 at home against Lorient, and they had to wait for a while to secure that win. They scored first, Rémi Cabella at the 13th minute, and then Lorient equalized at the 77th minute. Unfortunately for Lorient, Laurent Abergel, their captain, got a second yellow card 2 minutes later, and then with 10 men to finish, they resisted until Edon Jegrova got in and scored a brace in a couple of minutes, 18th and 91st minute. Of course, big celebration for Edon Jagrova over here, and giving his team the win and giving his team the ability to steal the 5th spot from Rennes at the table. Lille looked like it was going to be a usual Lille game where they had the better team, but they just can't deliver and they end up having regrets. Well, they made it count this time. I mean, if you look at the stats, they had 20 shots, 7 on target, when Lorient had only 2 shots and only 1 on target for the goal. And the goal was definitely a bit of a, I don't know if he was lucky, but I guess it was very opportunistic from Ibrahima Koné. So good to see Lille finally getting the results that they deserve. And they are 5 points behind Monaco, so who knows how far they can go. They're on a good streak and defeated in a little while there, Lille. So let's see how long they can keep this going. A bit more about the bottom of the table. Ajaccio was traveling to Clermont, and Ajaccio was holding the result for a while, scoring first at the 25th minute by Mounaïm El Idrissi. Unfortunately, 2 penalties cost them the game eventually, and Grégion Kier was only too happy to convert them both at the hour mark and in stoppage time. Ajaccio finished the game with only 10 men when Mohamed Youssouf was sent to the locker room at the 77th minute. And unfortunately, Ajaccio losing is obviously not helping them on the table, because they're stuck with 21 points as well, just next to Troyes. And of course, that's not going to help them coming out of that slump. Very good result for Clermont with 37 points now. They are definitely saying goodbye to their relegation woes, and they now can focus on next season. You know, I think Ajaccio had been a good challenger. I think they're the team probably in that bottom fight that has always struggled to bring their offensive threat to fruition, and we're seeing it on the table now with 21 points. I'd say that, you know, Ajaccio and Angers, to me, are condemned. Troyes is probably condemned as well. It's going to be about, is it going to be Auxerre, or is it going to be Strasbourg, or is it going to be Brest who joins them in Ligue 2 next season? Angers, I said, were condemned. Well, they're still able to get a result against Nice. And I'm sure Nice will have regrets there, because they are letting Europe definitely get away from them. Nice, who scored first by Terem Mofi, his goal at the 4th minute, and then got leveled pretty quickly, 15th minute. And Nice, who was unable to really bring the danger close to Bernardoni. They struggle offensively, Nice, which is a bit, I guess, rare for them after that great start and early goal. Maybe they probably thought it was already over after 4 minutes. Unfortunately, yeah, 50 minutes, Nian equalized. And then after that, you know, you would almost think that Angers had the chances to actually win that game, unable to finish, of course, their opportunities. But same for Nice, and a real missed opportunity for Les Aiglons. Brest-Toulouse was an important game. I thought Toulouse had that one in the bag. I mean, we know how well they've been playing recently, but they got surprised to lose by Brest. Brest, who needed that big ball of fresh air. They had 24 points and were in the relegation zone before the game, but they won 3-1. The goal scorer, Steve Mounier at the 33rd minute, Jérémy Ledouaron at the 63rd, and Madi Camara at the 84th. Toulouse had scored first by Tige Dalinga at the 10th minute, but weren't able to keep the result the way they were. I have to say that Brest was playing probably as best as I've seen them play in the past couple of months. Maybe finally Eric Roy is getting into the rhythm of making them play the football that he likes. You know, Toulouse still had the mains of the ball, but I think Brest were dangerous in counter-attack and in their fast forward playing. Good that they get a result, because it's making the fight at the bottom of the table very interesting. Toulouse, you know, I think they're safe. They got 35 points, and the way they play, they should be safe. But it's now 4 losses in the last 5 games, and something that we, I guess, probably didn't expect from Toulouse, from Van den Boomen and his men. So let's see if they can sort of get out of that slippery slope. For Brest, it's a super important result. You know, in the past 4 games, it's a 2-1 draw. So they were really one of those teams that were pretty weak, and those results are going to help them. The last game of the weekend that I'm going to talk about was the thriller of the weekend, and I feel like the result is probably sort of like hiding how it wasn't an extraordinary game. It was just a game when whenever they're shooting, they were scoring. Monaco and Strasbourg at the Stade Brugge finished on a 4-3 result, which is, you know, always exciting when we have this in Ligue 1. Van der Sande scored first at the 19th minute, and then Strasbourg equalized by Lebo Mochiba at the 32nd minute. Maripane with an own goal at the 41st minute put Strasbourg ahead, and by then I think Strasbourg probably had hopes that they could do it. going to the break with the lead. Unfortunately for them, there's a bit of talent in the Monaco ranks, and the youth came and took over. Elias Benseguir scored at the 54th minute. Edan Diop, the youngest brother of Sofiane Diop, who's at Nice now, who used to be at Monaco, scored just before the hour mark. And Youssouf Fofana, 5 minutes later, scored as well. It's three goals in about 10 minutes for Monaco. So they really killed the momentum that Strasbourg had. And then a red card was given to Fofana at the 78th minute. That didn't change much. Habib Diallo scored at the 93rd minute after being denied a goal for upside a little bit earlier in the game. And Strasbourg wasn't able to get a result. It was a pretty exciting game. But like I said, just because every time they were shooting, they were scoring. Because outside of that, it wasn't, you know, like a great game of like open end great football. It was two teams that, from what you could see, you know, just struggled to really building up and were, I guess, were punished every time they were making a mistake. But 4-3, good results for Monaco. A win is a win, right? And it keeps them in the race. They have 57 points now, so they are 3 points behind Marseille and Lens, and 9 points behind Paris Saint-Germain. Who knows? With 9 games left, who knows what can happen? But they needed that win; otherwise, they would have seen Lille coming close to them. They keep them 5 points away from them, and I'm sure they are happy with that outcome. That's the 10 games in Ligue 1 covered, the 29th match day of the season. On the table, PSG at the head, 66 points. They looked like the title was theirs 2 game week ago. Now, who knows? They have only 6 points ahead of Lens. Lens was 12 points behind Paris 2 games ago, and here they are 6 points behind. Who knows what can happen in our Ligue 1? So Lens second, 60 points. Marseille, 60 points as well, but only just a worse goal difference. That's why they're behind Lens. And then Monaco with 57 is one of those teams that can also potentially be a threat for the Champions League or for the title. Who knows? Behind that, it's Lille 52, Rennes 50, and Reims 46. At the bottom of the table, we said that Angers is in Ligue 2 with 11 points in 29 games. Ahead of them, it's Ajaccio, 21 points, Troyes, 21 points, two teams that look like they are going with Angers down to the second division. And then ahead, it's Auxerre, the last team relegated as it stands, 17th with 26 points. Strasbourg, just in front of them, 26 points as well. Brest, 27, and Nantes, 30. And then there's a little bit of a gap for Toulouse at 35 points. The goal-scoring ladder, David and Mbappé still at the head, 19 goals each, followed by Lacazette, Balogun and Ben Yedder, 17 points each. No changes on that ladder. The games this week, well, we have a bit of Coupe de France. Wednesday night, Nantes is playing against Lyon, and Thursday night, Annecy, who beat Marseille, of course, at the tour before, is playing against Toulouse. Who knows what that final is going to be at the Stade de France. Nantes, Lyon, Annecy, Toulouse are the four contenders for the French Cup final. In Ligue 1, the next game, of course, is this weekend. Lens, Strasbourg will be the first game of the weekend. And then it'll be Angers, Lille, Nice, Paris Saint-Germain, Lyon against Rennes. A couple of very interesting games there. Montpellier, Toulouse, Ajaccio, Auxerre. Important for the relegation zone, this one. Troyes against Clermont, Reims against Brest, Nantes, Monaco, and we'll close the weekend by Lorient against Marseille. Thank you very much for listening to Castellaline, the French football podcast with the accent. I'll be back next week, of course, to talk about everything French football, and who knows by then what will have changed in the French landscape. A few things are happening as we speak right now. I was trying to read the news while I was doing that podcast, and yeah, I think we might have some news from next week. We'll see when that happens. In the meantime, have a good week. Subscribe, like, ask any questions if you have on Twitter, and I look forward to talking to you again next week.